We're back to 1 Corinthians 13, and it's the love chapter, amen? And the reason I gave you that little thing on that little free lesson there is because the Bible works. If you work the Bible works. And before I get into what I'm going to say there, let me just say we call this study a more excellent way. Let's just remind ourselves why we call it that. If you'll go back to chapter 12... in verse 31, Paul just concludes a somewhat lengthy discourse on gifts, but he ends with verse 31 by saying, "But covet earnestly the best gifts." And if you remember, we kind of categorized, well, what would be the best gifts? And though we didn't singularly point any certain gift out, we just said, well, the best gifts would be any gift that would edify the body the most, edify the body of believers the most, and would bring the most glory to God. That would be the best gift. But though he said, covet earnestly the best gifts, he said this, yet I show unto you what? A more excellent way. And that more excellent way begins in chapter 13 and verse 1. He's going to talk to us about love. And so, love is a more excellent way. With Mrs. Schuler's permission, she said I could tell you this testimony, and I'm so excited about it because she came to me a week ago, maybe, and said, "Brother Choma, I've been listening to you teach on the love chapter, and the Lord's been speaking to my heart through it, and there's been this issue with her and her sister for some time, maybe years. Has it been years? Yeah, some years. There's been clash with her and her sister." Probably to the point of where they hardly spoke. Just wasn't getting along. And because of the love chapter, Mrs. Schuler put some principles in practice, and that relationship is healed. Amen? It's healed. And I'll never forget the Sunday that before Mrs. Schuler got to me, Brother Rich did, and said, hey, I gotta tell you this. And he told me, he said, man, he said, It's all better. Instead, all that fuss and all that stuff that, you know, all that bickering, all those different topics, it just melted away and love conquered. He said, love really does conquer. I said, yeah, hey, that's the Bible for you. Hey, it works. Amen. So if you use it, it'll work. So I was excited to tell you about that. I was so excited to hear about it. Well, let's read a little couple verses here in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. To get ourselves caught up to where we left off last time. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass or as tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, as he's talking martyrdom there, see, and have not charity, if I do all these things without love, he concludes by saying, it profiteth me nothing. And so in those first three verses, we see Paul's, I believe if I could hear Paul speaking with my own ears, rather than read his letter, but if I could hear him saying this, I believe he's very passionate. I believe he's trying to get across to the Corinthians, look, all this, you guys are carrying on in your church and are all bickering and division and so on. And we see that in the earlier chapters. He said, look, I don't care if I could speak every language under the sun, if I could have all faith where I could move mountains, if I gave my body to be burned, if I was a martyr, no matter what you want to talk about, if I did all those things and had not love, it's nothing. It profits nothing. And I am nothing, he says. So it's very passionate, I believe. But then he comes to verse 4, and he begins to describe the attributes and characteristics of love, and does so by explaining what it is, and and what it isn't. We saw a couple of, we saw a couple of what it is, charity, suffereth long, and is kind. Let me get a little drink of water here. charity is suffereth long and is kind. And then last week, we talked about a green-eyed monster, didn't we? Well, not last week, but last time we met on this study, 2 weeks ago, I think it was. We talked about the green-eyed monster called what? Envy. Let's go back and look at that definition again. Just to refresh our memories, this is where we left off last week. Envy, and I know it's a lengthy definition, but you know, if you pick that apart, it's really powerful. Let's read this quickly. Pain, uneasiness, mortification, or discontent excited by the sight of another's superiority or success. Accompanied with some degree of hatred or malignity, and often or usually with a desire or an effort to depreciate the person who has the success or superiority, and with pleasure in seeing him depressed. Envy springs from pride or ambition, mortified that another has obtained what one has a strong desire to possess. And so we gave that definition last time, and we went on to say that envy is strongly condemned in both the Old and New Testaments. We said that envy can even cause physical illness or illness. And we use this verse, Proverbs 14:30. It says, "A sound heart is the life of the flesh, but envy, the rottenness of the bones." And so, of course, love is the antidote against envy. Also, we learned that contentment, gratitude, and setting our affections on things above will help us avoid envy as well. All right, let's go back to verse 4. That brings us up to speed. We're going to finish verse 4. Well, we're not going to finish. Yeah, we are. We're going to finish verse 4 today. Tonight. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. And here's what we're going to look at tonight. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Now that word vaunteth, we don't use that word much anymore in our English language. I mean, maybe occasionally we'd come across it, but it's interesting word. Let me give you the definition of that. It means to boast, to make a vain display of one's own worth. Interesting. Attainments, his own worth, his attainments or decorations, to talk with vain ostentation, to brag. Pride prompts a man to vaunt and overvalue what he is. I always, you know why I like Webster's 1828 dictionary? Because every chance he gets, he uses scripture to illustrate the word he's talking about. Of course, he put in here, charity vaunteth not itself. And then another, that was the verb, then the noun, vaunt, means similar to boast. It's a vain display of what one is or has done. Ostentation from vanity. So that's vaunt. We'll look at some other words here in a minute that might be synonyms with that. But, you know, let's look at puffed up. Look at that next one here. The first part doesn't really deal with people. It's talking about a balloon or whatever. So it's driven out suddenly as air or breath, blown up, swelled with air. But here comes the part that would apply to what we're talking about tonight. Inflated with vanity or pride. Praise. When we get inflated with pride, that's when we're puffed up. And other places in 1 Corinthians, Paul says that knowledge puffeth up. And we can become puffed up with knowledge. Now, as I thought about those, I mean, I don't know what you're thinking right now, but I studied the definition of vaunteth not, or vaunteth. I studied the definition of puffed up, and a person, a character came to my mind who, what is the affinity of these words? Anybody want to take a guess who that might be? I have to give you a clue. I mean, it could be anybody, right? It's a TV personality from long ago. I'll just give you that. You're not going to guess. I mean, what am I trying to? How'd you know? Yeah, no, he didn't know that. I didn't give it to him. He guessed it for real. He did a good job guessing it. Yeah, if anybody, I don't know why he came to mind, but he did. And Barney could act pretty proud sometimes, couldn't he? He could toot his own horn. And he always would get me when he tucked his thumbs in his belt, you know. And I think, you know, Paul's telling the Corinthian church it's like a bunch of Barney Fife clones in that church because they were having issues. And, you know, if Barney was there, he might, you know, they were all a bunch of Barneys and they're saying, "Oh, you speak in tongues, huh? Well, I prophesy." I can just see a bunch of Barneys in the church. And they're all, you know, well, like, I do this and I can do that and I like Paul and, you know, Paulus is not so good. And so he's what came to mind when I saw that. This person that vaunts and is puffed up, it describes a person who endlessly promotes himself and exaggerates his own virtues. Did you hear that? He endlessly promotes himself and exaggerates his own virtues. Well, vaunt and puffed up is the opposite of envy, what we just saw in our last study, envy. The reason being, if you remember now, envy, we look on someone else and we want what they have that we don't have, right? That's envy. We look at them and say, "Oh, well, they've got that, and that's what I wanted, and I wish I had it, and I'm upset that they have it, and I'm angry, even angry about it," and that's envy. But being vaunting and puffed up means we're looking down on others because they don't possess what we do possess. You see? So then it's a matter of you're strutting your stuff because, "Oh, well, I've got this, and you don't." And he's envious because he doesn't have it, and they do. So those two are opposite of each other. Well, this person that vaunts and is puffed up, his self-promotion is so outrageous that he is usually prone to exaggeration that borders on lying. Have you ever known anybody like that? Exaggerating so much that it's just right to the point of lying. And I grew up with a friend like that, and his name was Matt. And doesn't matter what someone would say, he always came back with a one-up. He always had to do better. He always had a better story, a faster one, or you know, it was always better. And that was the way he was. But we have to understand now that Paul is teaching us that love does not behave in a prideful, arrogant, haughty, superior, snooty, snobbish, or clannish manner. Love doesn't do that. Now, vaunteth and puffed up are so closely related that for the purpose of the lesson, I'm just going to treat it as one object. But they are a little bit different. I'll give some definition here in a minute. This lesson, of all the lessons we've done thus far, I had the toughest time putting this one on paper. I don't know why. But so hopefully I get it across to you fine. But it was a tough one to study. Let's go to our next slide here. We might say that vaunting is the action while being puffed up is the attitude. So they do go together. I'll just use them as one, but we can kind of use a definition like this to say the vaunting is the acting, the action, and the puffed up is the attitude behind it. Let's use our Bibles and look at a couple similar places here. Romans 11:20. Hold your place in Corinthians. Let's go to 11:20 of Romans. Romans 11, verse 20 says, "Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith," and here's the part I want you to see, "be not what? High-minded." That's a very similar word to what we're talking about here, vaunting and being puffed up. High-minded is a very similar word. It's not the same Greek word, but it is a very similar word. One other place, excuse me, 2 Timothy 3, if you'll go there quickly. I won't have you turn too many places. I've got most of the verses on the slides, but a couple here I want you to turn to. 2 Timothy 3. And there's others. I just chose a couple just to make the point here. But 2 Timothy 3, verse 4. Again, he says, "Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure. There's a high-minded again, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And then there's another verse we didn't turn to, we'll see it later, but it's the one I think Peter talks about, boasters. And again, that's another similar place when we use the word boasters. Well, this vaunting and this puffed up attitude, this comes from, it's actually the fruit of the roots. The fruit of the roots. Vaunting and being puffed up are the evil fruit of the roots of pride and selfishness. And that's our next slide there. That makes sense, doesn't it? Someone who is tooting their own horn, someone who's bragging, someone who's have a puffed up attitude, they think they're better than you are, they're putting on an air of superiority, they look down at you, you're not quite where they are, their station of life or whatever, or their knowledge or whatever it is they're comparing, you're not quite there yet, so they look down on you, and that all behind that is selfishness and pride. And pride is behind a lot of stuff, isn't it? We said that on Sunday. But selfishness, because really it's all about me. It's all about me and what I've attained. It's all about me and what I have. And it's all about me and where I'm going. And it's all about me and what I've accomplished. And it's all about me. And it's surely it can't be about you, because it's all about me. That's this person. He vaunteth and he's puffed up. Well, love doesn't go there, does it? Love doesn't go there. And so that's important to remember. Remember that the church at Corinth was exhibiting these very traits. That's why Paul is addressing it. If you'll remember back in the early chapters, we looked at it at the beginning of this study. The Corinthians were obviously one of the big, big things, issues in the church was the gifts. And that's what we just ended on chapter 12. Paul's going to pick it up again in chapter 14, but he's talking about the spiritual gifts. And the church at Corinth put such high value, for whatever reason, on gifts. And that's why Paul concluded verse chapter 12 by saying, look, if you want to covet the gifts, have at it. But I want to tell you something that's more excellent. And he goes on to talk about love. But of course, I illustrated the Barney Fife a while ago. That's exactly what was going on. Well, I'm better than you because I do tongues. Oh yeah, well I'm better than you because I have faith or whatever. I can prophesy and all these things. So they had these very issues. And remember that this chapter in chapter 13 is addressing the problems that the Corinthians were having. So when we talk about I'm out of my place here. But we'll go back to chapter 13 now. When we talk about suffering long, Paul was addressing a problem. When he talked about and is kind, he was addressing their issues. When he said, look, charity envieth not, he was hitting them right where they live. He was putting it right down the bottom shelf. Because they were envious. They were envious of each other and what they had, the gifts they had, etc. Now he's saying, look, don't vaunt. And don't be all puffed up. He's hitting them right between the eyes. This is right where they are. And he's trying to correct a problem. And so that's why Paul's addressing it there. So much so that Paul says all this boasting, and another word for vaunting, we didn't see it on our definition, but it's self-talk. It's talk, 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 talk about me. And Paul said, all this boasting and all this self-talk is nothing but tinkling cymbals. Which is why I think is what he said back in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, and they sure didn't have charity, he says it's like sounding brass and tinkling cymbals. So, turn with me please to chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians. I'll show you something else here real quick before we go to our next slide. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 26. Here's another way that Paul kind of addresses what's going on. And I know we're way far from chapter 13, but he kind of deals with it throughout the book. But in verse 26, he says this. For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now that had to sting just in itself. Paul says, all right, look, you wise guys, you think you're all puffed up and you think you've got it all together and you think you're better than the other one and everybody thinks you're just the cream of the crop. I want you to know that God doesn't always choose the wise or the mighty. You see what he's saying? He's putting them in their place. God doesn't always go there. You think because you're so wise and so you think you're spiritual, and of course he told him earlier, now he said, I wanted to speak to you as spiritual, but I had to speak to you like babes because you're a bunch of carnal babies. But let's read, continue reading here. So he says, those kind of people usually aren't called. Verse 27, he says, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and base things of the world, and things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and the things which are not, to bring to naught those that are. And then verse 29 really is at the crux of it, that no flesh should what? Glory in his presence. There you have it. Why should we not be proud and puffed up? Because we're robbing God of glory and putting it on us. We're taking the glory. And so that's a big no-no. Well, let's go on to the next thing here. Let's consider some ramifications. We're actually going to be winding it up here soon. Ramifications of this behavior. Number one, it prevents others from aspiring to reach their potential in Christ. I chose the verse Romans 12:16, which says, be of the same mind one to another. And then get this part. Mind not high things, but condescend to men of low estate. It basically means this. Understand, understand your, what's the word I want to use here? Understand, in other words, I should never look down on Rich. On the other hand, I don't necessarily need to lay on the floor and look up at him. We're on equal ground. And the ground's all level to cross, amen? And we're not supposed to go around comparing ourselves one with another. In fact, the Bible tells us it's not wise to compare with each other. If you want to compare with somebody or something, there's the standard. The book is the standard. Compare yourself to God. But don't ever elevate yourself over someone else. Look down on them, feel superior because of whatever. And that's kind of the idea here. Don't be high-minded, but condescend. Come down off your high horse, down to where people are, and look at them eyeball to eyeball, and stop trying to look down your nose at them. And so that's it. Now, what do we mean by this? It prevents others from aspiring to reach the potential in Christ. By the way, you ought to be striving to reach your potential in Christ. Do you know that God has big plans and big dreams for you? He has bigger dreams for you than you have for yourself. He does. And we talked about it on Sunday again. Remember the lump of clay on the potter's wheel? God is making something with you. And he's not finished yet. But anyway, it prevents others from aspiring. If someone's always looking down at me, Brother Rich, guess how I feel? I just feel like thrown in the towel. I might as well just give up. I could never be like Rich. And people, he's always looking down at me. And see what I'm saying? So it hurts people and it stops them from aspiring to reach their potential in Christ because they're always being pushed down, looked down upon, suppressed by those who think they're superior. Let's go to the next one here. What's another problem with this? Well, it displays an arrogant and assuming behavior. Of course, pride is arrogance. Here's a couple more good verses. It says, let nothing, Philippians 2:3, let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. That's a good word. Vain glory. Glory. Of course, the glory is directed toward yourself, but it's obviously vain because you don't deserve the glory, right? That's how that word comes about. You don't deserve the glory, and so therefore it's vain glory, because all glory goes to the Father. But then he gives this phrase again, but in, what's these words? Lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Now that's a lost art, friend. That's a lost art. To esteem the other person better than yourself. That'll work in a husband and wife relationship. Spot on. That'll work every time. That'll work in an employer-employee relationship. That'll work in a lot of relationships if we esteem the other better than themselves. Ephesians 3:8, unto me, look at Paul's humility. Who am less than the least of all saints. And we say, what? The Apostle Paul, the greatest missionary who ever lived, on fire Christian, witness to everybody, every chance he had, he gave his testimony. You were talking about the Apostle Paul? Yes, the Apostle Paul, his own words said, I am less than the least of all saints. Sounds to me like he had it about right. He wasn't on a pedestal looking down. He wasn't saying to people, well, when you get to where I am, you might understand a few things. You see, he was very humble. We don't need to read the rest of the verse. Let's do the next one here. Number three. What else is a problem? Well, it promotes a willful and stubborn behavior. Why is it willful? Well, of course, if it's all about you, then it's all about your will, what you want, not what God wants. And stubbornness comes into play because, again, if it's all about you, then it's headstrong, it's pride, etc. So there's a bit of stubbornness involved. And it also comes down to this thing, dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves. Now here's the part we have trouble with. Ready? But rather give place unto wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Somehow we think in our little noggins that we're the ones who has to pay back. And rather than just let God take care of it. And we have a big problem with that. But you see, when we start saying, no, vengeance isn't God's, it's mine. Well, that's willful and stubborn behavior. You follow me? Okay, 1 Corinthians 6:7. Now therefore, there's utterly a fault among you. He said, this is a fault. You go to law one with another. Now obviously, he talks in chapter 6, pretty much the whole chapter is about taking believers to court, and he condemns that. But on the other side, if you're the one being taken to court, guess what? He says, why did you rather take the wrong? Why do you not rather suffer yourselves to be defrauded? Jesus said, turn the other cheek. Jesus said, if they take your coat, your cloak, give them your other garment as well. And we have a hard time with that. And but the Bible works. Right, Barb? It works, doesn't it? If we just work the Bible, if we put principles into practice, they will work. You have God's word on it. Do we have any more of these? Let's see. Next, what else? It promotes a self-justifying behavior. This verse here is kind of like the antidote. It's the antithesis, rather, of that. But if we're vaunting, if we vaunt and we're full of pride and we're puffed up, then obviously we're going to be justifying ourselves on why we do say what we do, etc. But James said this. He said, confess your faults one to another and pray for another, or pray one for another. So rather than justifying, why don't you just confess it to another believer and take care of it that way. And then this one. I forgot to underline the word, but you'll see it there. There is a blatant disregard of the feelings of others. Another problem. People that are proud, they're vaunting, they're puffed up. It's all about them. They're selfish. They're full of pride. Obviously, there's no regard for someone's feelings because they'll do, say, doesn't matter how it hurts the person. Doesn't matter what, how it offends the person. Doesn't matter how they trample on the person because they're superior anyway. And so there's a total disregard of the feelings of others. And Paul's trying to correct this. He says, look, love is the cure for all of these ailments. Well, what are some words that we commonly use in our speech? We don't so much say vaunteth or puffed up necessarily, but we do say arrogant, right? That's a word that would be somewhat of a synonym. We say words like he's a show off. And some of these we use jokingly, but sometimes people really are, they fit the mold. They're show off, they're full of himself. Conceited. A boaster. Looking down their nose at someone. All of these describe these kind of people. Proud. Snooty. A snob. Those are all different words that we would commonly use today that would fit in with what we're talking about here. Well, we're at the end already. Let's do these takeaways. Well, how can we make sure that we don't fall into this bad mold of being vaunting and puffed up? Well, realize, this is really good here, realize that whatever you've achieved, whatever you've attained, is by God's grace. I didn't mention this yet. When I was doing the study, I like to study the words. When Paul said, charity vaunteth not, the "not" there is more than just a negative thing. What I come to find out was, he was saying, don't vaunt when you have no reason to vaunt. Don't show off when you have no reason to show off, Corinthian church. Don't boast or brag when you have no reason to boast or brag, because you didn't do it anyway. He did. And that was pretty amazing when I read that. And that's what this means here. So, friend, whatever you've attained in life, praise God for it. But don't be Barney. Give God the glory. And whatever station you have attained in life or whatever, praise the Lord. That's fine. But don't vaunt it. Be puffed up. Give God the glory. It's by His grace. They are what from Him? They're gifts from God. In James 1:17, every good gift, every perfect gift is from above. You may say, well, I earned it, I worked for it, I paid money for it, I used the money that I earned at my job and I did it. Yeah, but it all comes back down to God. He gave you the health to work the job in the first place. He probably gave you the job. He gives you breath and heartbeat and all that. So no matter how you slice it, it always comes back to God. The second thing is true love will give us an esteem of our brethren and raise our value for them. True love. See, this vaunting and this puffed up, sometimes it even enters a marriage. We say things like, I told you where it was. Sorry, I forgot you were better than me. Oh, I must have really hit a nerve there. Now we're talking, right? Yeah, see how it's very subtle. I think that's why I had a hard time with this lesson. It was like, how do you really articulate this thing about vaunting and being puffed up? It was kind of tough. So I hope I got it across a little bit to you, but man, it's very subtle. And we can be guilty of it in the most subtle way. And even in our marriages and in our close relationships, we can say things that comes across like, well, you're the idiot and you're the smart one. And that's not, God can't be pleased with that. So we have to be careful. But this is the cure for it. True love not just in a husband and wife, but all true love, all relationships, Paul, the love that Paul's talking about, God's love, gives us an esteem. What does esteem mean? To raise up, to pick up, an esteem of our brother, our brethren, and to raise our value for them. So, therefore, we're not looking down at them because we've given them the proper esteem. And as Paul said, if nothing else, I'm not just going to put them eye level with me, but I'm going to be below them. Because he said, I'm the least. I'm how do you say it, lower than the least of all the saints or whatever. So, let's read this verse. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory. I think we had that verse before at another point. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. And so that verse fits perfectly. True love. Next, the last one. Number three. The root of vaunting and being puffed up, we said this earlier, is selfishness and pride. Therefore, what's the cure? Humility. We talked about that on Sunday a little bit too, didn't we? Humility. Folks, humility goes a long way. Humility really goes a long way. James talks about it. I didn't put all the verses there. You'll notice in your notes you've got 1 Peter and Proverbs. I'll read those for you in a second. But James says, but he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud. Remember Sunday night, the message I preached was, God resists resistance. When we resist, He resists. When we get proud and we resist the ways of God, then He resisteth us, because we're proud. But He giveth grace unto the humble. Then He says in verse 10, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and He shall lift you up. Let me just read these others to you. 1 Peter 5:5. He says, likewise, submit yourselves unto the elder, yea, all of you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, giveth grace to the humble. He almost word for word says what James says there. And then in verse 6, he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Again, it's almost identical to what James was saying. And then Proverbs 6:3. Do this now, my son, and deliver thyself. When thou art come into the hand of thy friend, go humble thyself and make sure thy friend. Best way to maintain those friendships is just to be humble. Always be humble. I don't think there's any more slides. No. So that's the conclusion of that lesson. Vaunting and being puffed up. Love doesn't go there. And that's what Paul's telling us here. He says, look, charity, which is true love, love from God, doesn't envy, and it doesn't come across proud and boastful and arrogant. Rather, it's humble. And so next time, we'll look at the next verse. We'll be moving on to verse 5, which says, doth not behave itself unseemly. That's an interesting phrase. Seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil.